So glad to see everyone here this morning, and I hope that all of you will be able to come to our home and have the baked potato bash. This annual event is one of my favorite days of the year because we get a chance to be a host to you and to enjoy a more informal visit than normal. I remind you that if you have difficulty on steps or stairs, we have an elevator now in our home. Since last year we installed one, and it's located at the side of the house where the driveway is, and we have an entrance so that you can go from the driveway all the way to the floor that where we'll have the party. And I hope you'll come, and we'll have someone there who knows how to operate the elevator to help you. Also, I have to say that I knew that some of you knew it was my birthday today, but I appreciate Joe mentioning it to the whole group. And this has been a significant birthday to me for this reason. A number of weeks ago, when I retired for the day, I began to think about my life and what I wanted to do with my life, especially as I was approaching a significant birthday. And that has been in my mind for several weeks. I'm going to talk about it this morning. You know, as you get older in life, you realize that the limericks that you learned when you were young are not necessarily true. You recall this one: "Come, grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. The latter part of life for which the first was made." I want to tell you, the latter part of life is spent going to doctors, and it's hard to say that it's the better part of life. I think that belongs in the fiction part of the library. But you think about that, and you want to live a meaningful life. You hope you have lived a good life, but you wonder, what are you going to do with the rest of it? I have always had heroes that I try to pattern myself after. From the earliest memories of childhood, I've had these heroes. They're always drawn from the Bible. My paternal grandmother would tell us Bible stories when we spent the night at her house. And the two stories that most impacted me as a child was David and Goliath. And you can imagine the imagination of a boy visualizing that battle between the young David and the giant Goliath, and the story of the rich man and Lazarus. That story impacted me very much as a child. My heroes shift from time to time, largely due to life experiences. When I was in college, I guess my hero was Daniel, because I learned that Daniel, when he was a teenager, and his friends, when they were teenagers, were suddenly swept up by the Babylonian Empire and moved from Judea to Babylon and forced into service for the king. And when Daniel got there, he refused to eat the dainties that the king had provided because they violated the Jewish laws on food. And the ability to say no to things that are wrong became very important, especially when you're a young person. We struggle with the issues of right and wrong very much. And so my heroes kind of shifted from David to Daniel. As I've gotten older, and now am old, I think of the old men of the Bible that I might want to remember and pattern myself after. You know, Moses was 80 years old when he was called of God to lead the children of Israel. That's a pretty big task. And he led them for 40 years. But he was 80 when he was first called. The Apostle John is the only one that we know of that did not die the martyr's death of the apostles. And when he was in his 90s, he was serving the church at Ephesus and Asia Minor. In church history, we have a dramatic story of the martyrdom of Polycarp, how that Polycarp was subject to be arrested, as all Christians were, and that the people encouraged Polycarp to run, to get out of town. Even the soldiers did not want to arrest this good man. But Polycarp stood firm. He even invited the soldiers to have food and drink with him, who came to arrest him. In his famous words, that 86 years have I served the Lord. And so he went to his death, and that always has impressed me. I told you that I had a hero, and I would reveal him today. Of all the people that I thought about in the last few weeks, who were older people, but who served the Lord's church, I think of the a man in the Old Testament. It is Caleb in the Old Testament. I want to read a portion of Joshua 14. You have your Bibles. Turn to Joshua 14 in verse 6. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but you don't know how to either. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites, that's the giants, were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb ever since because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. That must have been quite a scene when Caleb says to Joshua, I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. I'm sure that there were eyes that rolled and grins exchanged with those who heard these words, because no man who is 85 is the same that he was when he was 40. Nonetheless, when Joshua gave him that land, Caleb was able to go and to conquer it. I am impressed that Caleb at least had that image of himself is still capable. And being capable, he felt it was his obligation and privilege to be of service. One of the interesting things about Caleb that I've learned in my study these weeks is he was not really Jewish. I mean, he was of the tribe of Judah, and you say, well, he spoke for Judah and he was the prince of Judah. How can you say he wasn't Jewish? If you notice that in the reading in Joshua 14, he's identified as being the son of a man who was a Kenizzite. And a Kenizzite was a man who belonged to one of the 10 tribes of Canaan who occupied the Holy Land when Abraham was promised it. I don't know how Caleb became a leader of the Jewish tribe of Judah. I've pondered about that. It may be that the Kenites, as they were called, merged so strongly with Judah that they lost their identity as a separate tribe. But Caleb is identified here as the son of a man who was a Kenite. What do you visualize when you think of Caleb coming into that tent where Joshua was portioning out the properties that would belong to the various tribes? I had an elder when I first started preaching that I think about. I visualize him as I visualize Caleb. He was a schoolman, but he had grown up on a sheep farm, a ranch. The Curtis Cox, when I read about Caleb, I see Curtis Cox, because he was just the type of man that Caleb was. He saw nothing that could not be done if we put our minds to it. As you grow older and you see these men who also faced growing older, it's important that you gather some principles that will help you. And here's what I have found for myself as I have thought about Caleb. Before I mention that, I want to mention one other thing. I would flunk a Bible exam that would examine me over the Old Testament, I'm sure. I've always thought it was Joshua who gave the report of back to Moses. But the report, according to the Bible, was delivered by Caleb. I want to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. This is when Moses sends out some men to explore the land of Canaan. God said, from each of the ancestral tribes, send one of its leaders. And then in the verses 3 through 16, the names of the men from each of the tribes is given. Beginning with verse 17, I read, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the south and onto the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they well unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin and as far as Rehob. They went up through the south and came to Hebron, where the descendants of Anak, these were giants, where they lived. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, and along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of giants there. The Amalekites live in the south, the Hittites and Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb, not Joshua, but Caleb, silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report and the land they had explored. And they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, the giant. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Like I say, I don't know why I always thought it was Joshua who gave the minority report. Certainly, Caleb gave it on behalf of Joshua and himself. But it was Caleb who made that report. Here are the three things that I've come away with. First of all, we have to remain faithful. We have to remain faithful. one of the wonderful things said about Caleb, and is mentioned three times in the same context, that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. His faith was strong, and he had no doubt about God and God's power. Sometimes it's easy to remember when you're young, for some reason you believe that God was very strong and very real. As you face various problems in life and situations in life, it is possible to begin to have doubts. I look at Caleb and the statement that when he was 40 years old, he worshiped God wholeheartedly. And when he's 85, he worships God wholeheartedly. We have to remain faithful. I learned a valuable lesson when I first started preaching. Two ladies in the church. Church was fairly young in age. These two ladies would come in, sit at the back, and they would disappear after service. Never could get them involved in any project of the church. Later, I learned that at one time, these ladies were very faithful, very active, and they were together and doing a lot of things for the church. And so it bothered me that now they basically just came on Sunday morning and slipped out. I finally learned what created that situation. One time, I finally got the nerve to ask them. When you're young, you have more courage than you do when you're old, and you just sort of confront people. And they finally said, when we were young mothers, we were very active. We brought our children to Sunday school. We taught Sunday school. We had parties for our Sunday school classes. And we were always at church because we wanted our children to be at church. They're now grown up, and we just want to be on the back row. I thought how sad that as they got older, they got less faithful. And so when I see Caleb, I see him just as faithful to God and following God wholeheartedly at 85 as he did at 40. And I want to remain faithful to him as well. Deuteronomy chapter 6. He must have read this and had this read to him growing up in the tribe of Israel, tribe of Judah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. I think that probably guided Caleb's life. Secondly, what I have drawn from Caleb is that you must have a good self-image. I don't recommend a self-image that may be as exaggerated as Caleb's self-image. But he saw himself as a servant of the Lord. He saw himself as having the same energy and abilities as when he was 40. That may or may not have been literally true. But at least he saw himself that way. And if we ever lose a good self-image as we get older, then age will defeat us. The third thing that I have drawn from my hero, Caleb, is this. He had a goal in life. That goal was to capture Hebron. Now he comes to Joshua, and he says, I want to tell you the land that I want. I want the hill country. The problem was the hill country is where all the giants lived. It was the place where the cities were well fortified. I'm surprised that Caleb didn't say, you know, why don't you give me a strip along the Mediterranean Sea and let me just spend my days there. You know, another thing that I have learned and didn't realize before, I had always thought of the Jewish people as being landlocked. But in the original boundaries chosen and dictated in the Old Testament, it included that part of the world that we've seen so graphically in recent years, Gaza, which is on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea. Originally, the Jewish people were not landlocked, although the city of Jerusalem itself is well inside the land territory. But Caleb didn't ask for a nice place to live in order to have early retirement and to finally enjoy life. He says, give me the biggest battle that you think that we will ever face and let me do it. So I think having goals in life are very important to keep us alive as we get older. Well, these are the things I've been thinking about for several weeks. And like I say, we can learn a lot from these people in the Old Testament at every phase of our lives. And that's why I love to study them as much as I do. It is easy, as you get older, to sort of sit back and say, well, I did my turn, let somebody else do it who's younger. That's a deadly attitude to have. I think we are very fortunate here to have so many active older members. I know that there are a lot of articles about the graying of the church and how bad that is, but I want to tell you, it's the old gray heads who work hard, who are dedicated, and who have the time and take the time to do the work of building up the body of Christ. So we must never get discouraged or become less faithful. Always with all of our hearts, we must love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And you know, Jesus added one more thing to that when he was quoting what is the greatest commandment. You may not have noticed, but Jesus added something that's very important. He added, and with all of our minds. That word is not in the Old Testament, but Jesus added it as he mentioned the heart and the soul and the strength. He also said, you use your mind to serve God. We're going to have an invitation hymn that's been announced, and if anyone is subject to confessing their faith in Christ, to be baptized, or perhaps to have prayer, we would invite you to come to the front while we stand to sing.
him to have his way with thee.